But hearing the word of the Lord today, in 1 John chapter 1, John writes these words in verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here today in the house of the Lord. We ask you this morning, Lord, that as the word of God goes out, that the Spirit of the Lord might be able to reach down into our hearts and our lives and change us and use us and do for us what you need done today. For each one that's come this morning, Lord, we pray the richest blessings of God upon them. We ask you this morning that you might take now the word of the Lord, convict us and challenge us and comfort us today, and do for us today what needs to be done that we can be more for you in this day in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe today if one word could sum up the state of what I would consider the church this morning, and that means all churches across the world today, it would be, as David Wilkerson once said, it would be joylessness. Joylessness, a joyless church this morning. I'm afraid we're living in a day and the age when the church has lost the joy of the Lord. But our text says this morning, and John says, I've written a book. I've written some words. I'm writing a letter unto you that your joy should be full. Brother Peter tells us in his epistle in the first chapter in the 8th verse that we should rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. James said that we should count it all joy this morning. Paul, when he was speaking of Jesus going to the cross, said that for the joy that was set before him. We find this morning that joy is a fruit of the Spirit of God that comes to the Christian when they come to the Lord this morning. And so when John writes us here in this epistle and tells us that we should have joy and be fullness of joy this morning, then we have to think about just for a moment, what is joy? What does John mean this morning? You know, we find that Jesus says about the same words in the Gospel of John chapter 15. John here is telling us today that because he received the joy of the Lord there, that he's writing these words unto us today, that our joy should also be full. Now, there's a lot said about joy, and I read a lot of things about what joy isn't this morning, but I read one guy, and I thought this was probably the closest thing that I've ever heard. He said, there's no such word, but joy really means rejoicefulness this morning. It means to be filled with the excitement of God. It means to be filled with the Lord this morning. You know, we've heard the expression at times of jumping for joy. And that's kind of what John is telling us here this morning. And that's what the Scripture is talking to us about throughout the Word of God when it begins to tell us about the joy of the Lord. It means that inward peace that we get from knowing this morning that God is in control, that the promises and the perceptions of God are absolutely true and will never change this morning. It knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's that inward peace we come to grips with today because we have the Lord in our life. But it's also this morning, I believe, a little bit more than that. I believe it's that inward thrill. It's this morning that inward thrill that we have because we know God. Because this morning we know no matter what happens in this life, God this morning has something even better for us in the future. That we have that thrill of God in our lives this morning. We have the inward anticipation. Something today, and God is always working and doing it this morning. And I'm glad this morning that we can have the joy of the Lord. And I believe this morning the greatest need in Christianity this morning, the greatest need in the lives of God's people today is the restoration today of the joy of the Lord. Because you see, the joy of the Lord this morning is the key that opens the door that God has for all of us this morning. There are many blessings of God that we need to use this morning. And there are many blessings of God that only the joy of the Lord will allow us to enjoy and do today. You see, this morning, joy is the key to evangelism. We want to see people saved. That's the mission of the church. God today has left us in the world to love God and love each other and to share the gospel with those around the world today. We, this morning, are to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to be missionaries and witnesses and testimonies of the Lord today. And so this morning, if we want to see people saved, if we want to do what God teaches us to do about evangelism this morning, today we need to see this morning and have the joy of the Lord in our life. If you want to see people serve the Lord and see people get the help that they need in God, we need our joy today, and they need to see our joy. You see, people are not so much interested this morning in our creed, but they're interested in our attitude this morning. I heard about a guy that was in a testifying meeting in a revival, and he got up to give his testimony. And he began to talk about all the things that were befalling him because he was a Christian, and how hard it was, and how things were doom and gloom. And he just went on with a long list of things, and finally he sat down. Now, after the service, ended and the invitation was being given, there was a young man there that was lost, and the man that had testified knew him, and he walked over to him, and he said, "Don't you want to give your life to Christ? Don't you want to come and be saved?" And the man looked at him, he said, "Lord, no, I got enough problems being lost." You know, sometimes I'm afraid that's the way it is. We don't really have any joy today that God is doing something in our lives. People don't see the joy of the Lord this morning. They don't see us today. And when they look at us this morning, we find today that we need to have the joy of the Lord. People need to see God moving and living within us and see today that we have God living in us. That's the key to evangelism this morning. I believe this morning the Word of God teaches us we're to spread the gospel. We're to share the Word of God. That people today are saved because they hear the preaching of the Word. But you know, today I read one statistic and it always amazed me. I'm not much on statistics, but it said that 89% of the people that come to a particular church come because of somebody they know that's there. And you know, this morning, if people know that you're at Rocky Springs Baptist Church, please put a smile on your face. Please this morning have joy in your heart and a bounce in your step, and let them know that Jesus lives within you. This morning, if you want to see people saved, if you want to be an evangelist for the Lord today, you need the joy of the Lord in your life. You see, sometimes our churches grow stagnant. They, this morning, are like an old pool of water that's laying there, and it's just sitting there, nothing running out, nothing running in, and it just grows stagnant. And the longer it sits, the more stagnant it gets. Sometimes I think our churches get that way this morning. We get so stagnant today that what we need somebody to do is take a motorboat, as they would in that lake of water, that pool of water, and turn that motorboat wide open and run her down through there and stir all of that old mess up and get rid of that stagnant today and get the water to flowing again. You see, this morning we need somebody today to run a motorboat through our churches sometime. I had a friend that pastored a church over in Alabama many years ago, and he was telling me that where the place where their church was right on a highway. And he said it was very close to the highway. And he said one day that a man was coming down the highway, and he was hauling a bunch of boats, as we sometimes see around here. And he said some way or the other, one of those boats came loose and came out with that trailer, and it plunged right down through the church. He said, "I've never seen so many people come to church to see the motorboat that went into the church." You know, sometimes we want to see folks come to church. Maybe we need them to run a motorboat through it this morning. You know, we get stagnant. We don't have the joy of the Lord, and we need something to stir us up this morning and let God begin to work in our midst this morning. I'll tell you, today we need the joy of the Lord if we want to have evangelism. That's the key to it today. And the joy of the Lord is the key to worship. You know, we talk about worship a lot, but, you know, we really ought to just be excited to come to the house of God. We ought to be excited this morning just to come into the presence of the Lord this morning. You know, the Bible said that where two or three are gathered together, there I will be amongst them. Well, he ought to be here this morning. We ought to be excited this morning to come into the presence of God. We ought to be excited today to know that God is here among us this morning. Are you excited this morning to be in the presence of the Lord? You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse 11 that in thy presence there is joy. This morning in the presence of the Lord is joy. Well, I'm afraid sometimes we're like Vance Havner said, we come at 11 o'clock sharp and leave at 12 o'clock dull. You know, we ought to be like the psalmist. The psalmist said in Psalms 100 and chapter 100 and verse 2 that we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that we're to come before His presence with singing. And we ought to sing with gusto. We ought to just let folks know we're glad to be here. Well, I think this morning about Thanksgiving, and I think about little children, and Thanksgiving or Wednesday, my grandkids all came, and my oldest boy had to, Caleb and Ketch were throwing a football and playing football, and here come the little girl Chloe and the little boy King. And of course, they were just running and going around, and I looked at eventually, and I was sitting on the porch watching everything that was going on. And Chloe and King were sitting right down in the middle of the asphalt. They weren't throwing rocks at each other, but they were just laughing, having the biggest time. Now, can you imagine that? First thing I thought, boy, I hope Matthew don't drive up. We're all in trouble. You get that. I'll explain it to you later if you don't understand it. But I got to watching them kids. Boy, they was having the best time you've ever seen. Just run and rip and laugh and have the best time. Well, we're in the presence of God. We ought to be having a good time today. We ought to come before His presence with singing. We, this morning, say to the Lord this morning, we're glad that we're here and we're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. See, we're praising Him and worshiping the God who loved us. We're praising and worship the God this morning who died for us and give us eternal life. You know, have you ever thought about this morning? You're alive. You're alive. But you're much more than alive. Now think about it then. I told you about Dr. Dale, the English preacher who many years ago as he was studying for his Easter message, all at once run out of his study and told his secretary, said, he's alive, he's alive, he's really alive. And yet this morning Jesus is alive, but you know, a greater, I don't know if there's a greater truth than that, but a greater fact than that in some ways this morning is that this morning we're alive this morning. I'm alive and you're alive. And you know what Jesus said? He said, because I live, you shall live. This morning we not only are alive physically, but we're alive spiritually. We have eternal life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We ought to be praising the Lord today. We ought to be coming before His presence and worshiping Him because He gave us eternal life. Well, if God has never blessed you with anything else, He's blessed you with eternal life today. We come before His presence with singing. We, this morning, rejoice in His presence because, you see, in His presence is the fullness of the joy this morning. We have hope eternal. Well, that's something to be joyful about today. Many years ago when I was a lot younger, there was a song called Hallelujah Square. And it talked about how that when this man saw a lame man, and he said, you know, there'd be no lame people in Hallelujah Square. And he saw something else, and God saw a blind man. He said, there'd be no blind men in Hallelujah Square. And he said, saw a man that was dying. There'd be no dying in Hallelujah Square. I got news for you. We're living in Hallelujah Square, praise God. You know, we ought to this morning be shouting the praises of God this morning simply because we're living in Hallelujah Square. God today has blessed us so abundantly, and as we're traveling through this world today, we ought to let people know that we are joyful and we, this morning, are headed to a place that's far better than this. We're going to lift our voices high and let hosannas ring and lift our voice in praise to the King this morning. Joy to the Lord, that's the key to worship. You see, this morning, I'm kind of like Adrian Rogers said. He said, some folks think that you have to be dignified and sad. He said, the problem is they don't know that's really rigor mortis. This morning, we'll have the joy of the Lord. We ought to be praising God today if we want to really worship the Lord. The joy of the Lord this morning is the key to service. You see, it's Psalms 100 and verse 1 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do we serve the Lord with gladness? I guess if there's one thing that can push my button and get me upset more than anything else, it's UPS. That's a long story, but they always can upset me. Not long ago, I had to go over to the UPS store early in the morning to pick up a package, and I walked in there, and I'm standing there, and the lady, can I help you? And I said, I told her who it was, what I wanted. Well, it'll be a while. So I wait, and I'm standing here watching all these people. I thought, boy, this is depressing. This is depressing. These folks got a job making $30 an hour. $30 an hour. Now think about it. I want to be praising God, oughtn't I? I want to be serving with gladness. What do we do today? And I thought about the driver. He retired, but name was Jimmy. I don't remember his last name. But we called him Smiley. I don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but he was a black fella. And, you know, when I was in high school, I remember a girl in science class once asked the teacher, why do black folks' teeth look whiter? And he said, because they're black. And I come to realize he was absolutely true because your eyes see in the contrast. But Jimmy, he smiled. I had any teeth I could show you, but all you could see, when you're coming up the road in the UPS truck, all you could see was his teeth shining at you. Never saw him when he wasn't smiling, when he wasn't joyful, when he wasn't just having a good time. And I thought, boy, there's a lot of difference in this place. Morning. We ought to be like Smiley. We ought to be serving the Lord with gladness today. He's paying us a lot more than $30 an hour. Think about it today. He's this morning doing what we today. We serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to be doing something for the Lord today. You know why most of the time we do it? Well, we have to do it. Well, we just might as well go ahead and do it and get it over with. Well, I guess they expect me to do it. Don't want to let the people down. We ought to be glad. We ought to be joyful this morning that the Lord allows us to serve Him. You know, if the Lord lets us teach Sunday school, we ought to be glad of that. We ought to be joyful about it. If He lets us today sing and have the talent to sing, we ought to be joyful about it. No matter what we do today, we need to let the Lord today be thankful that God allows us to do it today. Right. Sometimes I get to the point I say, well, why have I got to get up and preach? But you know, I want to be thankful the Lord allows us, gives me that opportunity to stand and preach and declare His word today. See, Paul said, whatsoever we do in word or deed, anything we do, we are to do it unto the Lord, not unto man. And he said a few verses later in that same chapter that whatsoever you do unto the Lord, do it heartily. Heartily. You know what that means? That means with zest and gusto. That means we ought to be thrilled today that God lets us do something today. We ought to be thrilled that we can sing or play the piano or take up the offering or teach Sunday school or preach or whatever God wants us to do and allows us to do. We ought to be saying, I'm going to do it heartily. I'm going to do it with gusto. I'm going to do it with zest. I'm going to let people know that I'm glad that God allowed me to serve him. You know, this morning is the key to stewardship. Now, the Bible says, as I'm sure most of you know, that God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, we ought to be thankful and joyful this morning that God blessed us, that we have something to give.
Amen. That's right.
You see, God has prospered us. God has blessed us, and God has supplied us this morning. I thought we ought to be like the fellow that, I don't remember what insurance company it was, but he was saving so much money, he was running around filling everybody's gas tank up. Y'all saw that commercial. One fell out on a boat and money blowing off of him. One fell on a motorcycle. They're just so thrilled that they save money, they're just giving it away. I'm looking for him. I hadn't found him yet. But that's what God says. God loveth a cheerful giver. God has prospered us so much and blessed us so much and supplied us with so much. We ought to be joyful and thankful that God allows us now to give just a small portion of that back to him this morning. God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, Paul said we're not to give grudgingly or not out of necessity, but we're to give because it's a joy to give. We're to give because we're today thankful that God has blessed us in such a way we're a cheerful giver. Joy is the key to life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 4 that joyful in all our tribulations. Verse 5, he said that there's fightings without and fears within. And you know, this morning as you study the life of the Apostle Paul and you think of all the things that's going on in his life. And I thought about this morning as I read that and as I read what Paul had to say this morning about so many things. But he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. He said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He's talking this morning about we have an earthly body. And we're living in this world. And we're going through this time in the of our lives today. And you see, he says that life sometimes is hard. Sometimes life comes at us real fast, doesn't it? How do we endure? And how did the Apostle Paul endure the troubles and the fears and that he had? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, verse 8, "But we are troubled on every side. Every direction I look, we've got trouble. Every side. No matter which way I look, I've got troubles coming at me. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed." I don't understand it, Paul said. I'm a little perplexed. I'm a little wondering why. Why is this happening to me? Why is all this going on? Why don't people like me? Why do they always want to put me in jail? Why do they always want to stone me? Why do they always want to kill me? All I'm doing is telling them how to get to heaven. Paul said, I'm a little bit perplexed, but not in despair. He said, I'm persecuted, but I'm never forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Now, how does he endure all of that today? I mean, you look around and, you know, that's kind of the way life is, isn't it? Trouble on every side. Sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes we're persecuted. Sometimes we're cast down. And how do we do? Paul said, hey, how do I do this? He said, very simple, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. He said, for our light affliction, he said, this little light thing we got, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, if you're going to deal with life's tribulations, you need to be full of the joy of the Lord today. Sorrow, sure, we're going to have sorrow. Grief, absolutely, is going to come into all of our lives today. Trouble, most certainly. If it's not there, it will be one day. But you see, Paul said that joy is triumphant in tribulations. God's joy is triumphant even in the tribulations of life. It's sufficient in supply for every person. And it's abundant in every affliction that you face this morning. You know, Paul and Silas were in Philippi, there in the midst of the midnight. The Bible says that as they were there in that Roman jail, put in stocks amidst the rats and the vermins and the muck and the mire and the slime, that they begin to sing praises unto God. They sang. I don't even know what commercial it is. I saw it on television yesterday, a day before, sometime, and two people were playing some kind of game, and one guy says, I like to win, and the woman says, no, you like to whine. You know, I think that's the way I am. I like to whine. Thank God Paul and Silas didn't whine, they sang. At midnight, they sang praises unto God. Well, I'm telling you what. That kind of makes me get convicted sometime, you know. Well, I got an ingrown toenail. What do? We whine. Paul said, hey, I just count it all joy. I'm just going to sing praises unto God. Well, you see everything that I've done said happened right there in Philippians. People got saved. The church got started. Paul this morning became a great testimony for God. He served the Lord with gladness. If you're going to get through life today, you need your joy. Well, where is our joy today? What's happened to it? Well, you know, the thing today we need to realize that our real joy is Jesus. Jesus said, my joy. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Take the name of Jesus with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus wants us to be filled with joy. The scriptures are full of today telling us and admonishing us and beseeching us to let the joy of the Lord be in our lives. Sometimes we need to understand this morning that when we get saved and God comes in and we're overjoyed by the release of our sin, we're overjoyed today because we've been set free. We're overjoyed because we've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And that joy just overwhelms us in our life, and we're so thrilled, and we're there for the Lord today. As years go by and things begin to happen, our joy begins to wane, and we get to the point of saying, what's happened? You know, most of the time I think we let it get crowded out. There's nearly no room for the joy in our life. We let things of this world crowd out the joy of the Lord. We let the things of this world just crowd it out. You know, we come to church, and when we come, we're waiting to get out because we've got something else we've just got to do. We've got somewhere else we've just got to go. We've got somebody else we've just got to see. So we just want to get out of church. We're there. We have no real joy in it this morning because we've let the things of this world crowd out our joy. It'll take your joy today and just crowd it out. time we let sin creep into our lives. We let things begin to get between us and the Lord. We allow that sin that comes in, and instead of getting it cleansed and dealing with it today, we let it come between us and God. We could go through a whole list of sins, but I'm not here today to list sins. I'm just telling you that when sin gets in your life and it begins to get a little bit of a hold on you, and it gets between you and God, it destroys your joy. That's why David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I think that's what sometimes we all need to cry, as David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Then I shall sow sinners thy way. Where's your joy today? What's crowding out your joy? Do you need it restored? Well, you know, if you read over Nehemiah chapter 8, begin to read that chapter, and they gathered, and as they were gathered there, the Bible says that the word of God was proclaimed to them. I believe about 6 hours, if I'm not mistaken. They stood and listened to the word of the Lord. And because God's word came to them, there was a great time of repentance and sorrow. They got on their faces before God and began to confess their sins. They began to cry out unto God. And Nehemiah said, hey, God said, quit grieving and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You want joy today, you got to get rid of some things in your life. You got to turn back to God. Those things that's crowded it out, you got to quit worrying about that. That sin that maybe nobody knows about but you, that's destroying your joy, you got to get rid of that. You got to be like David and say, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You remember when you first got saved and how joyful you were for God? That's where you need to be every day of your life. But things have crowded it out today. Where is your joy this morning? That's the question you have to answer. And do you want it back? That's the second question you have to answer. The joy of the Lord today. Where has it gone? We're standing together, Brother Briefview and Barbara. Come, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it this morning for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. For everything that you do, dear Lord, we thank you that Jesus died for us. We thank you this morning that we have life eternal through him. For all that's said and done, may Jesus Christ receive the honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen.